Well, battleground states are really heating up. We recognize that these forensic audits are absolutely the single most pivotal piece of the puzzle, putting this whole thing together in an effort to save our constitutional republic. You know, brave men and women sign up to make the ultimate sacrifice. They die in piles of spent shell casings. They give their life. Families here lose loved ones protecting that very right, your right to vote. It could quite possibly be the epitome of what you are entitled to here in our constitutional republic. We're hearing so much about Arizona and, of course, Georgia. But in Michigan, there is a lot to unpack, a lot going on. Patrick Kolbeck is a former Republican candidate for governor, a two-term Michigan state senator who exposed the plans of the Muslim Brotherhood in America. I'm sure you remember that. He led the fight against Obamacare, very important. He's been an outspoken defender for gun rights. He leads the fight to protect election integrity, and Kolbeck joins us now. Thank you so much for being here, Patrick. We really appreciate it.
Oh, great to be with you, Stu.
So recently, I talked with Jovan Pulitzer on this program. Pulitzer claimed that certain Republicans were tainting the process of a forensic audit in your state. Now, you were a poll challenger at the TCF Center in Detroit on November 3rd going into the 4th. You were featured, I remember, in Mike Lindell's documentary, Absolute Proof, and you take certain exception to some of the things that Pulitzer was saying.
Yeah, the key issue is that here we are 8 months after the election. We finally had a Michigan legislator, Representative Steve Cara, start the discussion going on a forensic audit. And immediately as he introduced the bill, which is a draft bill, it needed a lot of improvement. There's no doubt about it. Rep Cara will be the first one to go off and admit that. And then Pulitzer is going off and attributing that he's trying to circumvent the process. And that's not right. I go, when we're trying to get more legislators to rally around Rep Cara, not less. And when you attack the one person who's doing the right thing, especially when it's friendly fire, because Jovan, man, we're all on the same page. We want to get a full forensic audit of the election in Michigan. It just doesn't help the cause. And so I came out. I want to make sure everybody understands it. Rep Cara and myself fully supportive of a forensic audit of every single ballot in the state of Michigan. This means all the way up to Ontonagon in the Upper Peninsula, all the way down to Detroit. We want to go off and get to the bottom of this. It's what we've been pushing for since day one. And we've been fighting the notion of fake audits, which is what our Secretary of State's been doing, calling them risk-limiting audits. So now I just want to make sure we finally got some legislators that are stepping up in the wake of Rep Cara stepping up with that. We've got Representative Dare Rendon, who says she has evidence of election fraud. We've got Representative Bob Bazat. We got Representative Matt Maddock. So they're starting to bubble up. And my only concern was when we finally got one peeking out of the foxhole, we didn't want to send incoming into there to greet them for doing that. We wanted to encourage his efforts.
What would be possibly the motivation behind that?
Good question. I mean, all I can do is I ask for red lines from Jovan and say, hey, help us out. Let's improve the bill. He was invited to go off and participate in it. He saw the revisions that I was proposing to the bill, which included an audit of every single vote in the state of Michigan. And yet he kept going on talking about, we just want a partial or a fractional audit is what he used. And so the motivations that get into it is, when we finally got a set of red lines from him about what he wanted changed, it wasn't anything to do with whether or not it was fractional or full audit. It had to do with the fact that he wanted the term kinematic artifact detection inserted as a requirement in the language. And just so you know, when that's the equivalent of going into the state police budget and stating that all your police vehicles have to be from Ford Motor Company, because that's a trademark of Jovan, and it essentially says, give me the contract. So that's not ethical. I'm glad Representative Cara is not in favor of that. I'm not in favor of putting in those specific words. We do want to go off and do a detailed analysis of the ballots. We want to look for folds. We want to look for all those different artifacts, if you will. We just can't use a trademark representation saying, here's what we're going to do, and then allocate state money towards that effect. That's just not ethical.
So for those trying to pay attention, follow along, in your state, in Michigan, huge state, extremely important. Is there going to be a full forensic audit? Where are we in this process with Michigan?
That's always a good question, because you never know everything that's going on behind closed doors. But what I'm seeing are some signs of hope. So the hope is not in the Michigan Senate, by the way. They are the ones who put out that Michigan Senate report that said, nothing to see here. These aren't the droids you're looking for. I did a pretty detailed line-by-line rebuttal of that report showing evidence. You can see it up at letsfixstuff.org. But in the House, we've got some signs of life. We've got Representative Carr and the other legislators we were talking about. In Arizona, you notice it wasn't the House that led the effort out in Arizona. It was the Senate by themselves that went off and initiated the process under Karen Fran to get the audit going with subpoena authority for a committee in the Arizona Senate. We're thinking that that's probably the same path we're going to have to go through here in Michigan. We got a lot more support for the forensic audit in Michigan through the House. And right now, a lot of the reps are going out. They're on quote unquote summer break. And some of these take the idea of break more literally than others. Some are still engaged. And the ones who are still engaged are hearing a lot from their constituents saying, come on, get on the ball. We have a constitutional right under Michigan Constitution, Article 2, Section 4, for an audit of statewide election results. Get on it. And they're hearing it. And I have a feeling we're going to have a little bit of a change in tenor, in tone when they come back after this break.
So you were a poll challenger at the TCF Center in Detroit on November 3rd and the 4th. Long night, yeah. I'm sure. And you were featured in Mike Lindell's documentary, Absolute Proof. By the way, if you have not seen the documentary, it's available. Make sure that you go and see it. I mean, it tells a lot.
By the way, when I say feature, I think if you blink, I'm in there for like a minute and a half in the absolute middle of the documentary.
You were there.
If you blink, you may have missed me.
Your role was important there. So when you were there, I mean, did you take away anything that can now be applied to fixing this? Number one, this is a two-part question. Number two, Trump has been really outspoken recently about the urgency in all of this. President Trump, both in Ohio and recently in Sarasota, 2022, we won't have a country by 2022, were his exact words. How urgently can this get done? You know, Americans, of course, are used to immediate gratification. We want this right now. So as I'm being pressured, ask him about how soon can this be done? I got to ask, what's the answer?
All right. Well, the urgency is driven from two different directions, frankly. First of all, looking at what's happening up in D.C. and seeing these illegitimate office holders and the policies that they're putting forward. Everybody wants to sit there and slam on the brakes. We're looking at it at the gas pump. We're looking at the impacts at the grocery store. We're seeing the direct impacts of the wrong people serving in office right now. So that's part of the urgency. The other part of the urgency is that there's a lot of cover-ups that are going on right now. In Michigan, there's recently a memo that was put out by Election Source, who is a contractor with Dominion, that Dominion has their voting systems in 65 out of Michigan's 83 counties. And what they're doing is going off and tampering with all of the voting machines, their ICX voting machines in all the counties throughout Michigan, and actually removing batteries, which the actual net impact of that is potentially the loss of information that could be garnished through a forensic audit. So as at the same time that we're ramping up the call for a forensic audit, there are actors that appear to be going in and tampering with the equipment that would be subject to that forensic audit.
That's criminal. I mean, that's absolutely criminal. So
it is.
That would
violate Title 52, Section 2702 of the United States Code.
Okay, so that would be something that I mean, this isn't for hyperbole here, that the military should be involved with. I mean, has your governor contacted the Michigan National Guard to guard these machines? I mean, we're talking about the integrity of our entire republic here.
Yeah, you know who's been stepping up? It's been our sheriffs. It's been our individual clerks. We know of some clerks that said, guys, nope, you're not going to do that on my watch. And unfortunately, a lot of them are being pressured by the Michigan Secretary of State to go off and say, talk to the hand.
So people are actually physically removing batteries, tampering with the physical equipment in Michigan.
Yeah. And here's the big concern about removing batteries. All right. And we don't know all the details on how it operates. I put up a post based on publicly available information in the contract with Dominion and the state of Michigan that talks about these ICX machines, and it goes through the initialization process. So presumably if you take out these batteries, you're going to reinitialize those machines, which is going to scrub things like the server connection settings, i.e., what are the machines that these voting machines are connected with? What servers are they talking with?
If you restart and reset any computer to its factory defaults, you automatically have to go in. You have to reestablish your connection to your Wi-Fi, enter all new passwords. You're starting from scratch.
Right.
That's I mean, that should be one of the most obvious signs that something is really going on here. Would you not say that that's accurate? I mean,
absolutely. Well, I mean, I kind of try to highlight that in the post that I put out at letsfixup.org, because it actually walks through in the contract with the state of Michigan. It actually documented what the preventative maintenance checklist was for these machines. And it didn't include removal of the batteries, by the way. So it's I think, you know, we've got them. I mean, I sent a note, a personal email out to the to Election Source, and I said, listen, they sent out a note saying I'm spreading dis and misinformation out to all the clerks.
Of course
clerks.
They did.
And so I sent back to them a note. I said, please help me understand what information specifically that I'm sending out here was misinformation or disinformation. Just let me know, because I'll be glad to go off and correct it. All I'm doing is copying and pasting information directly from your contract with the state of Michigan. So help me out on that. I haven't got any reply yet.
And you probably won't. So are the machines safe now? I mean, are they being guarded?
No.
They're not.
No, here's something that's been evident with the some of the feedback we've gotten from some of the clerks. They said, this is standard practice. We always just drop off the machines with them. They do the update, then they bring them back to us. So who's maintaining the chain of custody around these machines? What software is installed? What the hardware configuration is? This isn't just about software configuration anymore. We demonstrated that through Matt DiPerno and his investigations, where I identified a 4G wireless modem embedded on the motherboard of a ESNS, and that's not Dominion, that's an ESNS 200 machine. So as soon as that computer gets turned on, it's saying, hello, internet, here I am. And we're being told these things are air-gapped. There's nothing to see here. But that's a hardware configuration issue. No, there are no clerks that I know of that when they get their machines, they pop open the hood and look for a wireless chipset embedded on the motherboard. Nobody looks like that. They're told that these are air-gapped because they didn't plug in their USB cellular modems and they didn't plug in an Ethernet cable, so there's nothing to connect them. Well, little did they realize they got to peek under the hood to verify that as well. So hardware configuration is just as important as software configuration, which is why a full forensic audit, not just of the ballots, but the whole chain of custody, including the software and hardware configurations, is critical.
Okay, so you indicated that you've seen some positive things going on here. Are there people that are willing to come forward here and talk about anomalies, inconsistencies, things that they saw, fraud, what right out in the wide open?
Yes, here we are, 8 months after the election. Now we're getting some whistleblowers to step forward. And I can't get into too much detail there, because now we're getting in the mode where we have to double check and triple check, just like they're doing out in Arizona, double checking and triple checking the vote tallies or the number of ballots that they have. We want to make sure we check our sources, but it's snowballing right now. And for me, that's given me a lot of encouragement. Plus, we just had an anti-audit, anti-Trump, executive director in the state of Michigan, Jason Rowe, resigned yesterday from his position as executive director of the Michigan Republican Party. And there's been a lot of pressure from the grassroots in particular saying, guys, we need an audit of this election. And the idea of having somebody at the helm who's saying, no, nothing to see here, don't worry about it, was just rubbing the grassroots the wrong way. So that's a step in the right direction as well.
Do you suspect that the resignation had anything to do with knowledge of what might be impending, or do you think it was just strictly pressure?
I don't know. I mean, you never know some of the details there, but there definitely was a lot of pressure being applied. Matter of fact, I've actually kicked off a movement to censure Senators Ed McBroom, Senator Lana Tice, and Senator John Bison, who are all Republicans, who voted in support of the Michigan Senate report that came out that actually called for the Democrat Attorney General Dana Nessel to investigate folks such as myself and Attorney Matt DiPerno for our pursuit of the exposure of election fraud, claiming that we had some financial gain associated with that. If anybody thinks I'm getting financial gain out of this, they got another thing coming. I got another website that I created. This is one gift that God's given me, is I know how to pop up websites, because it's the only way to get out information nowadays with social media being the way it is. And thank you for your show, Stu, to help us get that out. But if you go to exposeelectionfraud.com, that's what I set up for my personal benefit. That's where I've got all the cease and desist letters from Dominion put out there, my response to that. And then also just highlighting this call for censure. We've actually got a petition calling for censure of these three senators, because they're essentially calling for the weaponization of our state government against citizens expressing their rights to free speech, their right to seek redress of grievances, and in my case, the right to free press. So it gets a little frustrating, and we're going to try to hold them accountable.
Everything in our country, and I'm going to ask if you agree, has been weaponized against us, as this Trojan horse is just signing every single thing that is put in front of him. They are really, really trying to get everything signed as quickly as possible. Is that an indication to you that these people might feel like something is imminent?
Well, it could also be a fact where they look back in the rearview mirror and the first 2 years under President Obama, they had the House, the Senate, and the executive branch, and they took their time. And then after 2 years, they lost the House, and things kind of slowed down for them. And so I think there's a sense of urgency for them in that context alone. And the rest of this stuff, of course, they're going to feel a little bit of pressure to go off and keep doing this. They've got a lot of people that have said since the beginning that they need to hit the ground running on this. And frankly, this is almost just a continuation of what they did during the 4 years under President Trump. They were acting as a government in exile there anyway, and doing everything that they could to impede what was a mandate from the people for a lot of the efforts that he did to put America first. And so I think this is just a continuation, frankly, of what they've been doing the last 4 years.
Was there fraud in Michigan?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you going to be able to prove it?
Well, I a lot of people I talk to are lawyers that say that when you have a sworn affidavit, that's evidence of election fraud. And you just saw, Tucker Carlson did a great job exposing what was happening inside of Georgia with the fact that they proved that there are some ballots that are being counted more than once. And we have testimony and sworn affidavits from folks like Melissa Carone here in Michigan that testified to the fact that she witnessed the same individual running the same set of 50 ballots through the tabulator multiple times. So there's a lot of similarity between what we're observing in Georgia and Michigan. I think we're going to find out when the audit report comes out in Arizona that you're going to see a lot more overlap between what happened in Arizona and the affidavits that we have out in Michigan. I've posted over 240 pieces of evidence. I've kind of served as a center of gravity for all the different fraud claims in the state of Michigan. All that's sitting up on my website, letsfixstuff.org. I'm just so tired when I hear somebody like our senators, who I tried to get all this information to, and I've sent that information to, I tried to get another committee hearing to go off and testify to the existence of all this evidence, and they refused to give a hearing for that, for a former senator in that venue. And once again, you can see those letters and the correspondence and the games that are being played up at exposeelectionfraud.com. It's just so frustrating that they're not paying any attention to this. But the good news is, the people are paying attention. We're going out directly to the people now through events. Now that this whole COVID craziness appears to have subsided a little bit, we actually can talk to people again in public. We're having events like we had in Antrim County about a month back, where we had 2,000 people out with Mike Lindell and crew saying, here is the evidence, come hear it. And we're going to share it with you. We're going to do the same thing in Grand Rapids on July 24th out at the Deltaplex. We're going to have folks like Joe Flynn, Patrick Byrne coming out, and Ann Vandersteel and crew. So, and Seth Cashel, there's really, and Mark Fincham, my good friend from Arizona, who's been leading the charge against election fraud in Arizona.
I think that, things are going to ramp up when this COVID thing was first starting. It was still overseas. I said, you watch, they're going to politicize this. Nancy Pelosi is going to find a way to insert this into the disruption of the 2020 presidential election. We have now proven that they have done that. And now they're talking about this Delta variant. Weird that the timing of the most dangerous, most contagious variant of this fake virus is coming right at the time when we have all of the audits going on, where all of the proof is supposed to come out. You can find them at letsfixstuff.org. Get to letsfixstuff.org. Patrick Colbeck, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Stu, and thanks for helping to get the word out. This is the battle that we're in right now. It's an information war, and you're right on the front line.
And thank you. I appreciate that. Coming up next, Dr. Jean Ruby will be here to talk to us. She has breaking revelations about people who have not been vaccinated versus people who have subjected themselves to this inoculation. There are blood tests. We're going to break them here next on The Stu Peters Show. Who's tampering with these machines and why? Somebody better be on this in Michigan. Who's removing these batteries? What is the purpose of removing these batteries? These are questions that Americans should be demanding the answers to. Dr. Jean Ruby is standing by. She has scientific proof from researchers who have examined the blood of uninjected people versus people who have subjected themselves to the inoculation. We have recently disclosed that Pfizer and AstraZeneca shots contain graphene oxide, a poisonous substance. We're going to show you exactly what this is doing to your blood. That's coming up next. I want to remind you about our great friends over at Step on Socks. I say great friends because I have personally come to know the patriots, the owners, the CEOs, the designers over at Step on Socks. Wonderful product. I wish I would have thought of it, but these 100% Patriot designed all cotton socks are red, white, and blue, a three pack, just $17.76. The classic version available with the names of all of the globalists, Biden, Fauci, Clinton, Obama, Gates, Pelosi, all of them on the bottom. You can step on these snakes all day long, a real sense of satisfaction. But the new one, Stepping on the Deadly Sins, it's all about the support of God, and you can find that brand new sock over at steponsocks.com. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters right now when you go to steponsocks.com. Well, the Stu Peters Show broke the first reports of the contents of these shots, specifically Pfizer, then AstraZeneca. And that Rumble video has now been seen well over a million times. I say that not as a pat on the back, and I'm not boasting. I'm actually thankful. I say that to illustrate that people really want to know what's being pushed into their bloodstream, what's being pushed throughout their bodies, how they're being misled. And we have actually kind of been forced to become our own medical investigators as we've come to the understanding that zombies in lab coats cannot be trusted, do not have our best interests in mind, do not consider our medical freedom to be of any concern or priority, and are willing to just arbitrarily jab anyone that walks or stumbles into their office or clinic. Well, today we're here to answer specific questions, and Dr. Ruby is here with another bombshell report. UK doctors now have indisputable proof showing exactly what these shots are doing to your blood. And she joins us now. Dr. Jean Ruby, thank you so much for being here. So there are many reports, Dr. Ruby, documented in VAERS. In my inbox, my DMs are flooded with questions. People are having jab remorse. They're feeling tired, weak, mentally clouded, dizzy. What are these shots doing to people's blood?
Well, Stu, this truly is a bombshell. This is the first that I've seen examination of blood under a regular microscope. These pictures come to us from Dr. Philippe Van Welbergen. He's a 40-year physician with experience in the UK, and he's taken it upon himself to take his patients who have come to him with complaints and illnesses from the jab that he does not recommend, and he's taken a look at their blood under a microscope in what's called a blood smear. Let me just share with the audience what a blood smear is. Your blood is taken like it normally is for any kind of analysis, out of your arm, a vein, and into a tube, and then they take some of the blood, a bit of a sample, and they put it on a specially treated glass plate, and then they look at it under the microscope. What Dr. Van Welbergen has found, and he has shared these pictures, and I believe it's the first time we've seen them, is that I've provided a photo for us to look at to your producers. When you're looking at this particular picture, it is a side-by-side under same magnification under the microscope. On the left, you see healthy, normal blood from a person who has not been injected with any of these materials, any of these quote-unquote vaccines. And you see these are red blood cells. They're nice and round. They have a dark center that's very normal. There is good spacing between them. You don't see any debris or material. You don't see them clumping or with strange shapes. What you're seeing side by side on the right-hand side of your screen is the blood of a blood smear from a person who took one of the Moderna shots. And if you'll notice, before we get to those large gold tubular structures, if you notice on the blood cells compared to the healthy ones on the left, you see they're all crumpled, they're not nice and round, their nuclei, the middle portion looks destroyed, and they're starting to clump or aggregate to each other in a sticky fashion. Now the gold, he calls them, Dr. Van Welbergen calls those gold structures, tubes, that they, when he magnified them even further on the regular microscope, they are actually in a tube form, and he can see the opening on either end of those. Remember, this looks strikingly like the graphene oxide that we saw under the regular microscope from the Spanish researchers La Quinta Columna, where you saw that sort of folded over protein that looked like looked like it was under like a piece of Kleenex under paint. And that's what this is. He's going to investigate it further. The second picture you see, which is a picture alone, shows a great amount of these blood cells that have totally aggregated. They're not normal. There's no space between them. And then you see this large cell that is filled with these white dots. We believe this may very well be like a macrophage, some kind of a defensive white cell. And inside are these white tiny dots. What Dr. Van Welbergen said was that when he put a fluorescent light over this particular cell structure and saw these white dots light up. And this is incredibly stunning, incredibly frightening. I've also provided your producers with several other photos, which I hope you can run through for the audience's view of other, mind you, each of these slides that I've provided are from different patients in Dr. Welbergen's practice. All of them have the common trait that they did receive an injection, and they were all, in this particular batch, Moderna. So we're very, very concerned, Stu. This is why we know these shots, especially Pfizer and Moderna, are the cause for all these blood clots, which are causing the strokes, the heart attacks, the myocarditis, the weakness. In when it gets into the neurons, it's causing, you know, neuromuscular degenerative conditions likened to Guillain-Barré, and multiple sclerosis. So anyway, I wanted to bring this as soon as we could. These are analyses that you just can't get when you chemically analyze them. And I think it's important to know for people, there is a reason why you are feeling sick.
Well, you know, we have been speculating that, I mean, there's obviously a reason why these people have blank inserts, blank leaflets. They don't want to tell you. They're vehemently denying any responsibility, any liability. Insurance won't cover you from, you know, people that get this, these Guillain-Barré or multiple sclerosis diagnoses, these people that are having these unexplainable tremors, this undeniable magnetism that's going on with people. People are not supposed to be magnetic. Then you brought to us this discovery about the graphene oxide. We were the first to talk about it. And I remember you telling me in a conversation that we had, candle, just for full transparency here, that you feel like you're in a room alone. You're on an island. Now, look, everybody is starting to talk about this graphene oxide. I talked yesterday with Dr. Judy Mikovits. We have heard Dr. Meehan with Clay Clark on the Thrive Time show and several other doctors that I have since seen that are acknowledging, yes, they believe in the validity of the Spanish researchers, La Quinta Columna. They have seen the chain of custody, so they believe this to be absolutely accurate. Now you're showing indisputable proof of these images underneath a microscope exactly what this is doing to one's blood. This has to stop right now. I mean, what is it going to take? Now, I know that you can't opine on that because you're obviously, you know, responsible with your reporting. You're a medical expert and you're here in that capacity. But I'm asking the audience the question, what is it going to take? We have to, this video here now should also soar to well over a million as you are doing your job out there by sharing this around with people as we are being banned and deplatformed. I'm suspended from Twitter again for another week. Dr. Jane, I don't know if you knew that or not. And it was so weak this time, just completely ridiculous. All I did was post a story about people in North Carolina that are going door to door trying to jab people. They're looking very efficient with their masks on, clipboards, jackets, representing the government. And that is who they are. And that is what's going on. That is a matter of fact. They are trying to jab people with this substance that we have now proven to contain graphene oxide, which is a toxic poison for humans, not approved for humans, according to our own government health agencies. And now we're showing indisputable evidence, proof of what this is doing to one's blood. These are dangerous shots being falsely referred to as vaccines. And they're trying to push them into the kids of your the blood of your kids. It's absolutely insane. Insane.
Yes, Stu. I mean, it doesn't even take a hematologist or any kind of doctor to look at these side by sides and see that there's something very wrong with the blood on the right, with the tubes and the distorted pictures of the red blood cells. And we have many more of these.
I can see it. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
Terrible.
Hell, I didn't even finish a 2-year degree in community college, for crying out loud. It just wasn't for me. But I'm perceptive enough to be able to say, this doesn't look right.
Absolutely not, Stu. The blood looks poisoned. It's got things in it that are dangerous. The red blood cells are desperately, you know, reacting to it, and they get distorted. You know, when you change the shape and you clump together, they can't work. And their main job is to carry oxygen to all of your cells. This is the connection to why people are tired, dizzy, not feeling well, mentally confused.
Yeah, because they've been poisoned. We proved that there was poison in the shots. Now we're proving that the shots that contain poison are poisoning your blood. These things absolutely. Are unequivocally, absolutely 100% can now be defined as poisonous injections. Dr. Jane Ruby, you can find her at drjaneruby@protonmail.com. If you have, you know, things that you want to send to her, if you have discoveries, breaking news, questions, she's really good about getting back to you. You got to forgive any delay because obviously she's inundated as her exposure continues to grow here on this platform and several others. I'm not going to break it yet, but I understand that you're going to go somewhere with this platform as well. And there's things looming here for Dr. Jane Ruby. So I'm excited for you. And you know what? I'm really thankful for you. Honestly, I'm so glad that God put us together and that we found one another. And so are the millions of viewers and listeners to this program, because I am inundated with, oh, thank you for having Dr. Jane Ruby. Finally, somebody who cares about my kids, our future, our health, and is unafraid to report it. Because there are many of you out there that are brave enough to start saying something, but just not quite brave enough to come all the way out with it like you are. And for that, we certainly appreciate it. Dr. Jane Ruby, more on her at drjaneruby.com. And again, that email address, drjaneruby@protonmail.com. The Stu Peters Show continues in just 60 seconds. Go nowhere. Absolutely horrific what these things are doing to us. We've now seen what they are doing to our blood. They are absolutely poison. They contain graphene oxide, and now we're seeing how they're attacking your red blood cells. Insane. I hope that video gets shared. I hope that interview, that breaking discovery, has 10 million views or more. There are hundreds of millions, billions of people's lives at stake here. I want to remind you about our good friends over at KeysToLife.shop. I'm a customer. Seriously, here it is. This is the IGF-1 Plus. And what does IGF-1 Plus do for you? It replenishes the natural IGF-1 that is found in your body naturally. As we age, those levels decrease, thereby compromising your immune system, which seems to be kind of important these days as the globalists want to continue to engineer and release viruses all over the place while the globalists try to kill you. Go to KeysToLife.shop. That's Keys2Life.shop. Right now, it's not just for men, although it is making men men again. You can research IGF-1, exactly what it does. Sleep aids available there, lean muscle gain, weight loss, all sorts of different products there. They're all holistic, all natural, completely legal. They work. Go to keys2life.shop right now. Tell them that Stu Peters sent you when you go to keys2life.shop. Well, I recently told you that I was suspended from Twitter. I was suspended from Twitter for telling people, warning people that door knockers are going door to door, quite literally, very official looking, carrying clipboards, wearing masks, wearing jackets, representing some sort of official agency, as though it would appear, knocking on your door, trying to jab you with these unknown substances, these proven poisonous cocktails into the bloodstream of you, your friends, your loved ones, your kids. Warning you about that, or just broadcasting that truth, is enough to get me banned from Twitter. How far will they go to stop the spread of the truth? How far will they go to combat the truthful narrative about what the ultimate goal is, which is to get a needle in every arm? Deanna Lorraine is here to talk to us a little bit more about that. You can find her at deannalorraine.com. Also, get her best-selling book while you are there, Taking Back America. Deanna, thanks for being here. What are they going to do now?
Well, this is the news of the week, honestly. This is the story of the week. What we have found, and they just published in Politico and other news this week, kind of casually, is that the DNC and the Biden administration are going to be teaming up now with big tech and phone carrier companies, and also utilizing fact checkers. They said, we're going to start utilizing fact checkers even more aggressively than we have before, to spy on and track our personal text messages and cell phone messages and social media messages from your own damn phone, to check for misinformation and fact check you. so that we can stop the spread of vaccine misinformation.
Do we know specifically what that looks like? So if I text you and I tell you, hey, just found out that the Pfizer vials and AstraZeneca vials contain a whole bunch of graphene oxide. Hey, just got these images from real scientific researchers in the UK that are breaking what this stuff is actually doing to your blood. Look at these microscopic images of what is happening to your red blood cells. What are they going to do? Are they going to delete my text, stop it from going through to you? Are they going to chime in? What exactly is the plan here?
Well, it's pretty nefarious, no matter how you slice it. I'm not sure yet if it's going to be like a bubble like on social media that pops up that says, actually, we have seen the vaccines to be 100% safe and effective, and there's nothing to worry about. Actually, we have seen that there's no link to infertility or miscarriage or heart problems. So I don't know if it's just going to be a bubble like this or if it's even going to be worse. And the message is going to be unsent and saying unsent due to misinformation from the vaccine. And they're going to block these messages. I don't know also if they're maybe going to, like you said, kind of chime in the conversation. All of a sudden we have a third party coming in my private conversation to fact check my personal thoughts and opinions and conversations with friends and family. But no matter how you slice it, Stu, this is the story of the week, because they have gone from kind of gently pushing the vaccine to forcefully pushing the vaccine to North Korea style propaganda pushing the vaccine. And now they've crossed every sort of line, going into our personal cell phones, our social medias, and checking our private messages with these fact checkers to say what we can and what we cannot send to people.
And Deanna, they are openly telling you that they're going to do it.
Right, they are. They're openly telling us, and they're not really ashamed about it. I mean, going door to door, community, door to door, to make sure, right, to give us the correct information is far beyond the limits. But now to go door to door in our own personal cell phones is a line that I really hope every American on the left and the right can say, this is enough. We cannot stand by this. This is a huge violation of privacy. It's not constitutional. And everyone who has had the vaccine wanted the vaccine by now. Anyone who hasn't gotten the vaccine isn't dumb. They know that it's available, that they know that they can access it, and they know where to get it by now. They just simply don't want to take it. And no amount of strong arming and gaslighting and fact checking in our own personal conversations is going to change that. This, by the way, in the same week that the FDA added Guillain-Barré disease into Pfizer and into Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Oh, that's no big deal. It's just an extremely serious neurological disorder that actually causes twitching and paralysis.
Yeah, you're talking about Guillain-Barré. It's actually polio is what it is.
Oh, it's polio. Okay, so it's a fancy word for polio. And I'm not French, so of course I'm going to butcher that name. But yeah, it's in the same week that they announced that they added this to the label. And then, of course, yesterday, we had Olivia Rodrigo, who is a teen pop star, go to the White House and give a press conference with Biden talking about how she's so in awe of Biden and Dr. Fauci and the vaccines and urging young people to take those damn shots. It's mostly disgusting. I mean, she has millions of followers, upwards of 50 million followers. And you know, it's fake when she had a read from a script. The first things out of her mouth was, I am totally in awe of Dr. Fauci and Biden. And the whole time she's reading from a script, Stu.
So are the rest of us. I am totally in awe that he is still a free man walking around, actually still has the bureaucratic authority to dictate what it is that you can do, who you can associate with, how many of them, where you can go, whether or not you have to cover your face with an unconstitutional diaper, what you have to stick in your bloodstream, what you're allowed to say, when you're allowed to say it, who you're allowed to say it to. He's participating in what could quite possibly be the largest population deleter in our world's history. What did we do when we found Saddam Hussein to be committing crimes against humanity? Where did he end up? You know, what do we do with people like that? We know what the end result is. For him to still be walking around, no criminal investigation pending, gives me a complete lack of confidence in every single elected representative in Washington, D.C., both Democrat and Republican, because these so-called America First fighters have not held his feet to the fire. Not one person has said, this guy needs to be prosecuted. We are launching an independent an investigation. We need an Alan Dershowitz style, investigation into this guy, some sort of an independent counsel to look into this. Nothing. Nobody, not one person. It's all the same usual 5-minute, 5-second hits, social media and, mainstream legacy cable news broadcast networks, Fox News Channel. Here I am. This is what I'm doing. BS. You're not doing anything. You know why? Because there's still 530 people jailed up from the 6th of January. Anthony Fauci is still a free person. This thing has documented to kill over 9,000 people. That's 3 times more than what the names are read on September 11th every single year when the bell dings and it takes us all day long to mourn about that horrific day back in 2001 that we now know those buildings came down at the hands of the very same globalists that are trying to inject you with this thing that has killed 9,000 people. Now, those numbers only reflect, by the way, 1% or less than the actual numbers, meaning upward of 9 million people could be dead as a result of this shot, and not one of you, not one person in that chamber of Congress or the Senate are up here telling the world about it. Shame on all of you.
Nothing meaningful. I mean, they say a few things here and there, they tweet a few things, but there's nothing been meaningful. Even Ron Paul, bashing at Dr. Fauci in these Senate hearings. Great, but what's meaningfully done about it?
Nothing.
And now we see in other countries, actually, that people are rising up by the hundreds of thousands protesting mandatory vaccines and masks. We're seeing this left and right in different countries. And look, they know how to protest. We Americans don't know how to protest. We know how to rally with flags and everything and honking horns, but we don't know how to protest to get things done. At what point is there a line with every American that says, this is enough, enough is enough? Because we haven't seen that line yet, apparently. We're not rising up by the hundreds of thousands. We're being distracted by LGBTQIA stuff and BLM stuff and the Delta variant and everything else. And I'm tired of it. I'm really, really tired of weak Americans not standing up and doing more. And you can fact check.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. Fact check my text messages all day long. It does not mean that I'm not going to find a different building or mountain to stand on top of with the loudest bullhorn that I can find. There are lives at stake. Billions of lives globally are at stake as a result of this misinformation, propaganda-pushing genocide that is happening right in front of us. Deanna Lorraine, you can find her at deannalorraine.com. She's here every day. Usually, a couple days we miscued. Shots Fired is the segment you can find here daily. There's big surprises coming up with Deanna Lorraine. Also get her book while you're over at her website, Taking Back America. Speaking of censorship and deplatforming, I'm not the only one. Oh, yes. The U.S. congressional candidate, former Navy guy. He's a veteran. He's a patriot. He's an America First guy. His name is Jerome Bell. He's in Virginia. He is now suing Facebook. We're going to talk about that coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Hey, it's Stu Peters here for my good friends over at Verve Forever. Verve Forever is my CBD company. I use CBD to help me with my physical pain and also my everyday mental stability. It helps with anxiety and stress. Who doesn't have that right now? I've heard people tell me it's helped them with their diagnosis like Parkinson's, ADHD, or even PTSD. The stuff is great. It's all natural and it's holistic. If you're already doing CBD business, then you know. You've experienced the positive benefits of CBD. Maybe you use it for joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain. For me, it was arthritis and it is gone. It cured the arthritic pain that I had in my shoulder. But if you're doing a CBD business with a company where you don't know where the stuff is sourced from, it could be coming from China or Afghanistan. Who knows where your CBD is coming from? Do business with Verve Forever. Verve Forever sources all of their products right here in the United States, Colorado to be specific. Also, this company is owned by a veteran. Tim Klund is a veteran of the United States Air Force, and he is the chief executive officer over at Verve Forever. Do business with an America First company. Do your CBD business with a patriot-owned company. Do your CBD business with a veteran-owned company called Verve Forever. Go to AmericaFirstOil.com right now. Make sure that you tell them that Stu Peters sent you when you go to AmericaFirstOil.com. Well, breaking today at redvoicemedia.com, U.S. congressional candidate, America First candidate, Jerome Bell is suing Facebook for interfering in a federal election, anti-Christian censorship, and breach of contract. Republican candidate for Congress from Virginia's 2nd Congressional District, Chief Petty Officer Jerome Bell, U.S. Navy retired, sued Facebook today for anti-Christian censorship, breach of contract, and interfering in a federal election, according to a press release. Inside of that release, Bell said, quote, "The left knows the truth helps conservatives, so giant social media companies are blatantly censoring the truth." Bell continued, quote, "Worse, social media has actually interfered in federal and local elections. Our would-be tech overlords need to step aside and stop meddling in the lives of Americans, up to and including interfering in affairs of state, or we the people will be forced to move them aside through the legislation process. Joining us now is Florida Attorney Ken Ferguson. Ken, thank you so much for being here. Does Bell have a case?
He does. Appreciate you having me on. The Communication Decency Act was crafted at the dawn of the internet age, right when it, you know, this was booming in the 90s. And suffice to say, I think everyone can agree that the internet and technology has drastically changed for the better and gotten much more robust, so to speak. So Section 230 at its implementation or at its core, you know, was designed so that the free flow of information can happen on the internet, because according to the findings in Section 230 itself, it says that the rapid developing array of internet and other interactive computer services available to individual Americans represent an extraordinary advance in the availability of educational and informative resources to our citizens. I loved the findings of Section 5 and 230. Increasingly, Americans are relying on interactive media for a variety of political, educational, cultural, and entertainment services. Now, at the heart of Section 230, it states, and this is the controversial part, Stu, is that in Section 2A, it says no provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be held liable on account of any action voluntarily taken, and keyword here is good faith, to restrict the access or availability to the material of the provider that it that the provider considers to be obscene, lewd, lascivious, filthy, excessively violent, harassing, or otherwise objectionable. And the key phrase here is the good faith, and it has to be within the confines of those words. I mean, at the heart of it, a lot of this has to deal with revenge porn or pornography or, sadistic, violent videos. That's
which seem to be free flowing on Facebook all the time. My stories and my timeline is filled with people throwing bottles and rocks at police officers, assaulting people, burning businesses down. And of course, I see all of the soft porn all over the place with links to connect me here and there, typically going over to YouTube, where then porn, underage kids, all these kinds of things can easily be accessed. But if you question an election or if you make a statement on behalf of our republic, you are immediately censored. If you provide any information that's in contrary to this lie, the propaganda of these, the efficacy and safety of these so-called vaccines, you're immediately deplatformed and censored. So why the contradiction?
Well, I think you nailed it. I mean, the other day you sent me an article, Stu, about how there's somebody walking around in North Carolina with trying to administer vaccines. And here's the thing, you know, that has absolutely nothing to do with anything that's lewd, lascivious, pornography, violent. That is just a, hey, here's a public service warning, right? And that's where Section 230 is problematic to me, or the way in which the courts have been interpreting it up to date, is they're basically using it as a pretext, or it's pretextual in the sense that they're allowing the platform to decide what's right and wrong, what's lewd and lascivious, even though it's not. That's where the good faith part comes in. Now, in the lawsuit that, you know, that we're discussing here, they nailed it right on the head. In paragraph 41, section 230(2)(a) provides no immunity for Facebook's actions unless those actions were taken in good faith to promote the promote the limitation of the publication of obscene, lewd, lascivious, filthy, and excessively violent or harassing conduct. So what are the heart of the complaint is, and what I really like what they said here, is they said good faith does not mean anything that Facebook subjectively believes might be good for society. You've experienced this on your platform many a time.
Many times.
And that's the thing, right? I mean, that it's one thing for somebody to say objectively, this is obscenely violent or pornographic. Okay, that's something that's objectively you can tell. But whether or not somebody wants to give a public service announcement about a vaccine, that's not for Facebook to decide or Twitter to decide what's right and wrong. And again, paragraph 51 of the complaint, I love what they say here. It's short and sweet to the point. Actions taken in good faith are narrowly and strictly limited to the rest of Section 230(2)(a) to restrict the obscene, lewd, lascivious, filthy, and excessively violent and harassing material. So the focus of this suit, what I really like about it, is it's narrowly tailored towards, look, you can't use 230 in any other manner other than to prevent or promote the limitation of this lewd and lascivious conduct. So what Facebook's doing is they're trying to curtail American or societal behavior through what they believe to be good and bad, right and wrong, and good for society. And that's not what it was meant for. It's meant for the free flow of ideas and to allow the free flow of information. But we have seen, not only in your experiences, Stu, but on the congressional hearings, is that these platforms have quite literally had a blacklist, so to speak.
Yeah, they have. And we hope that they're going to be held accountable. I got to leave it there. Ken Ferguson, a Florida attorney, Ferguson Law. You can find him on Instagram at a lawyer's take. Good luck to congressional candidate Bell. We will be following this to see. And of course, we here at the Stu Peters Show are obviously exploring our options as well. More as the Stu Peters Show continues, where it's allowed, right after this. The Stu Peters Show is blowing up, exponentially exploding. I see it everywhere. You guys are bootlegging, screen recording, TikToking. I love it. I'm not pissed at all. I actually really love it because people are getting red-pilled. People are thirsty. They are starving for the truth, and you are helping to lead them to it. You can now red-pill everybody with a StuPeters.tv shirt. Please head over to StuPeters.shop. This shirt is 100% made in the USA. That's right, 100% American-made at StuPeters.shop. Everything that we have there is 100% American-made. Go to StuPeters.shop right now and get the StuPeters.tv shirt. It is red, it is white, it will perfectly match all of your MAGA gear, including your MAGA hat. Please go to StuPeters.shop and support the platform. We really do appreciate it, and we know that you are the biggest part of StuPeters. StuPeters.tv. You are the reason the People's Bullhorn exists. Red pill everybody when they say, what is that? What is StuPeters.tv? You have the opportunity to then lead them to the truth, sources of information, experts, and crucial, crucial evidence that could help actually save lives. That's what we're doing here. That's the goal. We appreciate it. Go to StuPeters.shop right now. Again, StuPeters.shop for your 100% made in the USA StuPeters.tv shirt at StuPeters.shop. Thank you. Well, as the globalists attack us from every angle, you have to be aware that amid these forced inoculations, door knockers, door-to-door jabbers, solar storms coming at us at 2 trillion miles per hour, UFO landings, illegal aliens being flown around the country, hosted by the United States military, election audit interference, critical race theory, the mass exodus of good cops on the street, and the weaponization of our federal law enforcement agencies, they're coming after you, and secretly, they're coming after your wallet. Your retirement nest egg is in immediate danger, and we've called attention to this in recent times. Carlos Cortez is the founder and CEO at Cortez Wealth Management. He's an independent fiduciary and a Stu Peters Show contributor, and he joins us now. So you had a call to action. Ask your financial advisor a group of very specific questions to get a better idea of what's happening with your money. What's your risk score? Who's actually trading your money? Is it an advisor? Is it a mutual fund manager? Now you're presenting a challenge. Force your advisor to answer the questions and let us know what they said.
Yeah, simply as that. Thanks, Stu, for having me. That last segment I did with you a few days ago or last week in regards to the questions you should be asking your financial advisor, it really stuck because we got a lot of calls, and it is absolutely scary out there, Stu. What people have millions of dollars in the market. They don't even know what the risk score is. I see the statement and their neck is completely exposed. And then I ask, is your advisor trading this, or is it a third party? Is it a money manager? Who is it? Because I know for me, I have four kids. I have to make time for you, Stu, to get on the segments. I have to look at, you know, statements. I mean, there's phone calls, there's emails. I mean, who in the world has time to watch your money? And so you have to have a system in place, because the big banks, they have all the algorithms, the robots, the trading software to take money from mutual funds and other passive investments. So you got to fight fire with fire and have that same technology working for you. But I urge our listeners, you know, ask your advisor, what's their risk score? If they stutter, they're like, I don't even know what that is. Then ask them, what's their standard deviation? Once again, if they stutter, I don't know, then you may have a problem. Number two is, who is trading your money? Is it a robot? Is it a third-party money manager? If it's a separate money manager, is it a mutual fund manager? Is it the advisor? Well, the advisor probably has kids and over 100 other clients that they have to cater to. So we have a lifestyle risk, Stu. So, I mean, we all have our own lifestyle. You have to be in and out tactically and making sure that your money is robotically using artificial intelligence with human trading. I mean, you literally have to have a watch guard over your money. And so I challenge all of our listeners, all of our subscribers, whether they're watching us via video, podcast, whoever watches this segment, call your advisor. And then I would love to hear the answer. And they can email us at info.
I'd be interested in hearing as well. I mean, these people are going to be stuttering. They're going to be making things up, pulling things out of their, you know, where can people email you the answers? You were just about to say it.
Info at CortezWM.com.
Okay. So ask your financial advisor. You said that you had some pretty amazing stories for today.
Yeah, I can't talk about particular clients, but or names, I would say, but there are several clients that had literally several million dollars, and I asked them this, and he or she couldn't even respond to me. It was pretty sad, and I looked at their statement, and I said, "Look, your standard deviation is a 17. If it's at 10, it's high. 15 is really, really high. And you shouldn't be 68 years old or even close to your 60s and have the same type of risk of a 30-year-old. So as soon as the market farts, sneezes, or hiccups, they're down majorly. And it's sad because it will take 5 to 7 years on average to make this money back. And so I really, really urge people to really ask your advisor these questions. I'm a safe money guy. I believe in de-risking. I believe that you have to trade with smart intelligence. And, you know, part of my patriotic duty is to help our Americans with their nest egg.
Yeah. Get your help that you need with your nest egg. Protect it before the solar storm hits, before the UFOs land and the aliens onboard deplane. They're already doing that. U.S. military flying illegal aliens all over our country, as reported by Tucker Carlson. Absolutely insane. Carlos Cortez, thank you so much for being here. And we are out of time, but we will see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern. Until then, remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!